RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My confidence in Tyler is a real big positive, a real plus, but it doesn't factor into whether Lamar plays. If Lamar's ready to go, he's playing. That's it, for sure. Well, it's to be determined, you know. I mean, still, he's coming off a very serious injury, and he's working at it. Saw him in here today working at it, so I think we'll know a lot more on Wednesday. There was improvement throughout the week. It was not good at all early in the week, and it improved as the week went on, and that was cause for, optimism.
Will the final decision come down to the training staff and consulting with them? Is that what will make the decision?
It's what it always is. The doctors and training staff, the coaches aren't deciding, you know, who plays from a medical standpoint.
So that was John Harbaugh yesterday. We'll hear more from him in about 15 minutes talking about the Lamar Jackson of it all. And who will be the Ravens QB on Sunday? QB or not QB? That is the question. And Jason, for me personally, I think it's going to be Lamar Jackson, and it wouldn't shock me if he's practicing tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, look, we don't know. I doubt that the Ravens truly know. These practice days will be everything. It is fitting that the good doctor, Dr. Jerry Aloysius Coleman, is the one who got Harbs going there, because it should be a doctor addressing all of this. Look, a back is tricky. A back is easily aggravated. And I don't think any of us would be shocked if this turns out to be more than a one-week injury for Lamar. Harb says Wednesday would be a big deal. I don't know that he'd be doing anything Wednesday no matter what. I kind of feel like it's more Thursday.
I
kind of think Snoop would be getting the snaps on Wednesday regardless. Lamar Jackson is, when he's anything close to right, a singular force of nature in this league. And it would be pretty cool if, I can't quite call it a Willis Reed moment, but if he was able to come in, banged up again, mm-hmm. a new injury on top of all the old injuries, go into Pittsburgh and light those guys up in prime time. That'd be pretty cool.
It would be great after a really frustrating season for the Ravens to end the Steelers season in Pittsburgh and win the division. That would be a great way to end the regular season. Look, I think it's 50-50. We were talking about this last week, and at that time, I thought he was going to be out against Green Bay, and I thought he was going to miss this game. But now, I didn't expect the Ravens to be alive for the division at this point. NBC, when they put out the promo, it was Aaron Rodgers and it was Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
And the Ravens, when they put out a promo, it was Kyle Hamilton. So I think them doing that, it tells me that they aren't 100% convinced that Lamar Jackson is going to play. And how could you be? Because a back injury is just
Burgundy?
So... Yeah, yes. Because a back injury is just so
the British
so
accent,
tricky.
Jason,
I'll throw it in there at the end. Mm-hmm. Got a lot of premiership games
going on.
But... we touched on this yesterday. If Lamar is cleared, and John said this yesterday, if Lamar is cleared, he's starting. I don't care if it's 70%, 80%, whatever. If he is cleared, he is going to be my starting quarterback if that's my decision. And it's not even a decision at that point.
Yeah, it's funny. I've done a 180 on this because I thought when he left that game against New England, we'd never see him again. But, yeah, I think he's playing Sunday, and it would not shock me if he's on the practice field tomorrow. I think that he's had this, what, a week plus off now, and I would be willing to bet he's motivated to keep the season going. So I'm going to be fascinated to see what they hit the practice field around the time we go on air tomorrow, and what we're going to be talking about in that first window when we see who's at practice.
If the back ain't broke, then Lamar's the bloke.
More British stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. This primership thing is really, it's got you going. Can I ask something completely off topic, and I don't want to derail the segment, but I notice you're wearing a vest. So Margie got me a vest for Christmas, and I've never worn a vest in my life, and I tried it on, and it didn't work for me. She's sending it back. I can't see myself as a vest guy. Do you like the vest?
He's wearing it.
I like the vest. Like, you don't want your chest to get cold. Like, I find I can do a lot, especially walking, going long walks with dogs.
I'm very curious about this.
With a skull cap and a vest, and then my arms rarely get cold. If I have a hoodie on or whatever, and it's not quite as bulky as a coat.
Uh-huh.
This was from what turned out to be my last appearance on the NFL today.
Oh, very nice.
It was much
colder. Kansas City?
It was much colder in Kansas City than even the projections were. And so the night before, the wardrobe team ran out. That's why it's kind of scrubbed out, because they didn't want it to. Not that it was going to be on air anyway, but I think they wanted to like cover that
up. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So
they hit a
free advertising,
like,
yeah.
They went out and got us like extra layers in case we needed them, like under our overcoats or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So this was it turned out to be a parting gift.
Wow. Nice.
From CBS.
Nice. Eddie Bauer,
from
very
CBS
nice.
Sports.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was Arrowhead. And Jim Rome was, I thought Jim Rome was going to literally freeze up.
I remember we had him on right after. He was, we had him on the show, and he was
so, like,
still
complaining. I guess what I'm saying is, would I have, like, sought this out or bought
it? Do you own another vest?
No.
Okay.
This is the only vest I've ever owned.
Okay, so you're similar.
But I like it.
Would you wear a sweater vest?
No.
No?
Me neither.
No.
Okay.
It doesn't, and not to say that people are wrong that do wear them. I just can't wrap my head around the whole vest thing.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're kind of all in. Or
yeah, Margie was all excited, and I was like, I don't know if this works for me, honey. So she's like, okay, I'll send it. She's like, but you have enough hoodies. I said, I don't have every color.
Yeah.
So I'm getting another hoodie.
You can never go wrong with hoodies.
No, I like hoodies, and they cover my entire body.
And we matched without even
planning.
Yes,
yeah, we got the memo. You can get the Orioles memo.
Yeah.
This is my Zach Heflin appreciation sweatshirt. Oh, man. So, yeah, tomorrow will be – I didn't mean to derail things, you caught my eye. Tomorrow's going to be a very fascinating day. I know that he usually doesn't practice on Wednesday, but it's my impression he's – there's a very good chance he's out there tomorrow.
Look, anything close to a healthy Lamar is – we know just – you can just look at the win – just look at the winning – percentage in the regular season when he starts and finishes a football game. It's pretty up there.
We have a massive Tuesday show. It's our second to last show of the year. Because remember, we have a show tomorrow, and then we're off Thursday and Friday, and then it's 2026. So calendar hits you fast. Guest-wise, on today's show, we will talk to our friend, IA Hall of Famer Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network, get her thoughts on this game Sunday and the rest of what's going on in the National Football League. And Jerry Dulock, who knows the Steelers basically better than anyone, has been covering them for years for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He'll join us at 5.
Yeah, obviously this pendulum has swung back and forth and back and forth between the Ravens and the Steelers, and who's more on the hot seat and whose future is more nebulous and who's going to win the bleeping division. So definitely we'll be looking a lot at the Steelers over the next couple of days while we do have shows, and look a little bit at the NFL at large. This league, man, last night, another one where, okay, if you had that on your dance card, good for you. It's a crazy league. It is a crazy league.
Can we just say real quick that ball that Puka almost caught on the sidelines might have been the most incredible catch ever.
Unbelievable.
We'll get to that a little bit later. But coming up next, John Harbaugh met with the media yesterday. What did he have to say? Well, you'll hear it next here on the Fan.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My confidence in Tyler is a real big positive, a real plus, but it doesn't factor into whether Lamar plays. If Lamar's ready to go, he's playing. That's it, for sure.
John Harbaugh confident that if Lamar Jackson is ready to go, Lamar Jackson will play on Sunday.
Yeah, and that shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. Lamar Jackson's resume speaks for itself. We are literally 12 months removed from arguably the greatest season a quarterback has ever authored in NFL history. Now, Tyler Huntley, this has been some of the best football that he's played this year, but even in these games, you can see what he is. He's a game manager.
And limited.
When you have games like Green Bay where Derrick Henry's running wild, and you're able to get third and short, third and five or less, which is where they found themselves in 10 of the 14 third downs that they faced. Yeah, Huntley will be effective in that situation because he's going to get the snap and he's going to fire the ball out quickly, not take too many negative plays. He kept the ball out of harm's way for the most part, had the one pass in the end zone that probably should have been intercepted. But besides that, played a clean football game.
Let's hear more from Harbs yesterday. And how about those issues with the secondary against the Packers?
I mean, it was just technique. It was technique in the back end, corner position, you know. And it wasn't anything. It wasn't really across the board. It wasn't any kind of miscommunications or anything like that. We played things right. We just didn't play them. We didn't play the pass game well from a coverage standpoint in the back end. It was really the outside lane throws that you saw made. They were just too easy. You know, we didn't cover them well. And then quarterback getting out of the pocket, you know. We got him a few times, but he got out a few times. You know, he's elusive, but a couple of those were more our fault. You know, just our rush lanes weren't as good as they needed to be. And sometimes it was getting him down, too. He got out of our grasp once or twice. So those are the two things that were very much pinpointed to the problem in terms of the yards that were given up. We had one seam route. The first touchdown was a seam route against cover two. That we didn't play that right and or well, and it honestly too, you know, it wasn't a great call against that route. So I'd say those are the three things.
That was the most honest that I've heard him in a while.
Well, except he started out trying to say
yes, but
it was just the corners, and then he gets around it, admitting no, the safety sucked too, and it was a crappy play call.
Yes, he basically said, "Look, we were doing stuff, but we didn't do it well, and then we didn't call it well, and we didn't have contain on the quarterback."
Correct me if I'm wrong. That was probably his first shot at Zach Gordon.
Yes.
I can't think of any other time this season or even going back to last year. Like, that was the first shot.
Well, and look, we've talked a lot about the Zach Gordon of it all. For me, the entire defensive staff needs to go. Like, the goal should be find somebody really good outside this organization who can bring a couple of assistants with him, and maybe we promote a little bit from within, and maybe we also go outside our cocoon and get a position coach like in the secondary where we really need help, and that's all we really want to invest in. So those guys better at least be able to play. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's way beyond, like,
swapping
out Zach Gordon, like promoting Chuck Smith or trying to keep Pagano around, like, that ain't cutting it.
No.
All three levels have been a failure.
I agree, but I think what makes it even more disappointing is, gosh, how many coaches did they swap out last year? The linebackers coach, Hewitt, at least
but,
two
but
or
they've
three
been promoting. The whole thing on that side of the ball has been, we can always promote from within. Dude, this you're not developing pass rushers. No. You're not developing corners. You're not developing safeties. You're not developing linebackers. Like, nah, the whole kit and caboodle over there
is less than professional.
If like so, in the hypothetical that Harb stays, we need a makeover on the defensive side of the football.
Like, I think it's not just Orr's out and we try to get Pagano to stay. No, man. I think you need new ideas. You need new concepts. You need new dynamics in not just the overall defensive meeting room, in all your positional meeting rooms.
More from Harb speaking yesterday. Talks about the winding path to a possible postseason berth.
I mean, it's a great opportunity. We'll be playing a division championship game on Sunday. You know, that's what we're doing in the last week of the season. We're excited about that, and it's a meaningful thing, you know. And so we've worked hard to get to this position. There's a lot of different paths in football, you know, and there's a lot of different paths in life. And this is the path of the 2025 season. So here we are, and you know, our goal is to make the most of it.
Yeah, Tomlin showed up to his press conference today saying, thanks for coming to the AFC North Championship game presser.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
That's what it is. It's not sort of the crown it used to be.
No.
It's not going to assure you anything other than one home game. It's not, your seeding's not going to be great. Whoever wins this game, there's a decent chance they're not the Vegas favorite when they play their next game.
No.
So this is a far cry from some of these past Steelers, Ravens, winner take all type of scenarios. It being on the road is probably for the best, given the way the Ravens have played at home.
On prime time,
the fact that they've already lost once, and there's not a lot of sweeps in this series, I guess historically would bode well for them. And we'll have to see who the more physically compromised team is, right? We know Metcalf's obviously not playing in this. We'll see if Watt's back. We'll see if Herbig's back. We obviously talked a lot about the Lamar situation already. And look, the Steelers being at home, where we're not that far removed from them booing Renegade and Ben Roethlisberger.
Clean house time. Spence.
Like Ryan Clark.
James Harrison.
James Harrison calling for Tomlin's head. We're not that far removed from that. So if the Ravens offense could have a fast start, that fan base might turn on them. But like, I mean, if the Ravens lose this game and get swept by a patently mediocre at best Steelers
without
team,
Metcalf,
and they struggle to split with Cincinnati in a year where the division's this bad, and you can't do better than 500 in the division, that's pretty damning.
Oh, you don't deserve it. It makes it significantly worse. But it is such a weird build-up to this game where it's similar to the first game, where I'm sure everyone's seen that picture of Tomlin and Harbaugh calling it the hot seat bowl, and both fan bases, you know, are saying, oh, if the Ravens lose, is John gone? If the Steelers lose, is Tomlin gone? But this is for the division. This is for a home game. In the playoffs, it's different. Like you were saying, it's an 8-8 team and a 9-7 team. This isn't two 11-win teams, two 12-win teams like we've seen in the past in late season matchups, but this is still for the division.
More from Harbs. Did the team get together and watch that Browns Steelers game?
We had the coaches came over and some players came over to the house, and you know, it was probably like a lot of fans. You know, we had to watch it, and there was plenty of times where I wasn't watching it, you know. Sometimes it's, you know, someone told me at one point in time, don't move. A couple of good plays that happened there. I wasn't allowed to move, but we had fun, but it was also, you know, it was a nail biter, and great job by the Browns, obviously. A lot of respect for our division. You know, our division is a very tough division, hard fought games in our division across the board. All four of these teams know how to play each other. And that was a great example of AFC North football, really. So we're appreciative of the opportunity that it affords us, and it's our job right now to prepare for it.
You think Tyus was serving?
I was going to say, who do you think players and coach
well,
wise?
Isn't that
who
a slippery slope with the players?
Coaches,
I mean, I guess
too.
There's always a hierarchy, but well, I would assume you invite all the coaches, right?
Yeah,
but like, which players go? And then if you're a player, do you?
Are you in the circle of trust?
And even if you are, do you want to be fraternizing with your coaches? And
are you just chilling, digging, watching a football game? Maybe there's some sandwiches there, or is it like
I would hope?
Oh, there's definitely
a good spread.
Yeah.
He had to have had a good spread.
Yeah, okay. catered, you think?
Maybe we could get Cordell on the case.
Yeah.
Could.
Tomorrow. Well,
if it's food, get Coleman on the case.
And were you invited? Did you go? And what did they serve?
And isn't DeCosta's his neighbor, right?
Yes. So remember the whole during COVID? Maybe. Yeah, he did not say any front office.
He didn't say front office.
He said coaches and players. He did not say front office.
That would be something if DeCosta wasn't there, being his neighbor.
I think we text Aloysius and get him on the case on what was served at this soiree.
Yeah, I mean, that's
right up his alley.
And he could tweet about it on the burner account.
Yes, well, allegedly. Yes.
It's alleged.
Yeah.
It's real.
Let's hear a little more from John Harbaugh from yesterday. Is there possibility of lighter practices this week heading into such a physical game?
I mean, at this point in time of the season, we haven't been in pads for about 3 weeks now. The rules don't really allow you to be in pads too much, but also we haven't wanted to be. We haven't needed to be. We will focus on technique for sure, blocking technique and all the different things that we do. But it's not this point in time of the season. There's not a lot of hitting that you do in practice anyway. So it's kind of where we're at.
So they're not really in pads anyway. So it's going to be light practices.
Yeah. I think you're allowed 12 over the course of the whole year, something like that, padded practices. So,
yeah.
We're beyond that. Those messages have been sent already.
When you're about to be in January, I don't think you need any padded practices when everyone's beat up at this point and you're about to play a very physical game against the division rival. I don't think you need
for what it's worth, and we'll talk about this a little later, but this is from Tomlin earlier. He's optimistic that Calvin Austin, Brandon Echols, James Pierre, Isaac Samalo, and TJ Watt could play Sunday. So maybe they're getting a little healthier.
Huge.
That's a lot. That's a lot of talent.
It's a spicy meatball right there for week 18. Coming up next, Derrick Henry. They rode him to a chance to win the division this coming Sunday night. Can they ride the hammer again? We'll discuss next here on The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Last week about you not getting the ball in the fourth quarter of that game.
I got it today.
Was it intentional today? Did you expect coming to this game expecting 25, 30 carries or more? Was that just how the game played out?
I would just worry about being effective with any opportunity that I got and being efficient in the run game to give ourselves a chance to get into drives, let those drives end in points and run the ball physically and, just focus on us dominating the line of scrimmage and establishing the identity in the run game throughout the game. That was just my main focus. Whatever carries it was going to be, I just wanted to go out there and make something happen.
Derrick Henry in good spirits after the game, a game in which he rushed 36 times, a career high for 216 yards and 4 touchdowns. He was angry on the football field, helping the Ravens beat the Packers 41-24. So after a career high in carries, can the Ravens ride Derrick Henry to a division title on Sunday night?
Well, he's obviously a unicorn. He's defied logic and sort of data and comps, right? I don't know if there's a whole lot of comps for a running back of his size doing what he continues to do at his age with all those carries under his belt. But I did go back and look at his entire career and see what it's been like after he runs 25 times or more in a game, after he runs 30 or more times in a game. And you got to go back to week 9 of 2022, where he was coming off of a 32 carry performance the week before. And he went out and ran 17 times for 115 yards and 2 touchdowns. You could go back to previous week because they were riding him hard in 2022. Week 8 of 2022, he's coming off a 30 carry performance and he goes 32 for 219 and 2 touchdowns. Week 7 of 2022, he's coming off a 29-carry performance, 38 for 128. Now, that's a lot of volume and a lot of yards, but not very explosive. I mean, that yards per carry isn't great. I can't really bet against this guy. The numbers would say when he's lathered up the week before and runs 25 times or more often than not, it brings out the best in him the following week. Part of you could say, well, what about the playoffs? Well, you got to get in the playoffs to worry about the playoffs. And I suspect they try to establish him early. And if Pittsburgh sells out to take it away, then something else should be open. And maybe with Ricard going the way he's going right now and the offensive line playing with some confidence for the first time in forever, maybe even if Pittsburgh sells out to stop it, they still can't stop it with the super heavy stuff.
I did the same thing you did, Jason, but looked at the 30 carry performances that he's had throughout his career. And his last, prior to Saturday, 30 carry game was the final game of the 2022 regular season, and the Titans didn't make the playoffs that year. So 9 career games, he's played 8 games following a 30 carry performance. The average, 25 carries for 123 yards, so nearly 5 yards per carry. And
did you take out the ones, though, because he finished week 8, 17 or 18? He had a lot of 30s, but then he didn't play again
for
6 months.
Yeah, he said 9.
Right, just, but I mean, it happened more than once, is what I'm saying. So you took all those out.
I took, But, and Grant, this is 6 years ago, and you can obviously throw it out the window because that's 20 years for a running back age. The 2019 run that he had that came at the Ravens' expense, in a 3-game stretch, he had 96 carries. 32, 34, and 30. Unbelievable. But I said it yesterday. I'm at the point with him where you just have to view this guy differently. Where you can view running backs when they hit age 30, okay, they're going to fall off a cliff at any given second. I can't play that game with this guy anymore. Like, he's a freakazoid.
Yeah, I'm with you. And Jason, we've had this running bit since I think the show started, where you were betting for the wheel, betting on the wheels falling. And for anybody else, I get it. But I think he's one of one is what he, like, the commitment he puts on his body, on his off-season workouts. Like, I don't think he ever takes time off. And the proof, like, he was asked in the locker room, like, could you do this next? He goes, that's what I'm built for. Like, this is why he kills himself the entire offseason. So if you need to put the ball in his hands multiple times in a big game, he says he can handle it.
Well, look, I you know that they're doing their data analysis. You know that the quants, the numbers guys, have influence there. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure they're looking at the same numbers we're looking at. And I believe 30 carries will be on the table. Now, if the Steelers alter that course, the Steelers alter that course. But if they're going with the heavy stuff early and they're getting themselves 6 and 7 yards a chunk and they're breaking off a couple big ones, I would guess that Harbs wouldn't let Monk get away from that stuff until or unless the Steelers intervene.
We know what Derrick Henry did to Pittsburgh in back-to-back games, the regular season game, and then the playoffs last year against him ran wild. Now, in this matchup, it was 25 carries for 94 yards. And I remember in the lead-up to that game, we were bringing up Keaton Mitchell. And Keaton Mitchell, in that game, he broke off the 55-yard run, and that's when he had the knee injury, and he had to leave that game. I'm not advocating for Keaton Mitchell to get a ton, but it's something to keep in mind where his speed against that old defense, he might be able to break off another chunk run.
I also wonder, remember, Henry lit them up in the regular season finale, and then to start the playoff game, they were selling out the starts to stop Henry,
Lamar
kept keeping. And not of them were for long runs, but it kept the chains moving. I don't know, and we're assuming Lamar plays, and we'll find out more as the week goes, but can Lamar handle that in this game?
If Lamar's not capable of keeping the ball himself in option situations or when plays break down, then Lamar shouldn't be cleared. Like, part of clearing a guy to play is that you're clearing him that he can protect himself, and that if things break down, he's going to be able to explode enough laterally and forward to protect himself.
And remember in that first game, Lamar was a little more willing to run there. That's where he had the touchdown run at the end of the first half. He had 7 carries for 43 yards in that game. Not saying that that was last year Lamar by any stretch, but he did seem more willing against
the and if
field.
You're saving it for something, this is there's no contingencies
no
here. There's
no
qualifiers. This is the epitome of all or nothing season defining. This is it.
Yeah, you got the whole offseason.
So I just don't think if he's out there, he's going to be rationing himself or holding back.
Ravens and Steelers Sunday Night Football. It means the Baltimore Game Day Uncensored pregame show. 5 o'clock live from Barrel House Live. We're running it back. It's me, Bone, and Jason taking you up until kickoff at 8 o'clock. But coming up next, we do need to get some baseball in. As the Orioles made yet another move yesterday, well, the day before yesterday, they re-signed Zach Eflin, 1 year, $10 million. What do we think of the move? And what could that mean? What do you think that means as far as the Orioles doing more with the pitching staff? We'll discuss next here on The Fan.
Yeah, so as of now, I think I'm about like 4.5 months post-surgery. I feel fantastic. I've been doing some mound work, and I think I have my first bullpen scheduled on January 6th. So everything's been going smooth. And as of now, like my goal is to be ready for opening day for the first start of the season. You know, it could change. I don't know. We still have another month and a half to go until I get to spring, but, I feel better than I ever have in my life. And I'm fully prepared to, you know, be ready for that first week of the season.
That's Zach Eflin signed a 1 year, $10 million deal to come back to the Orioles. Now, I want to get to I've talked to a couple people with knowledge about the Eflin thing. And number one, the less important part, and that's the Eflin part of it all. And I want to make sure I have this right. The back's been bothering him for about 4 years, and he had like a cyst or a, what do they call it, spur.
I think he said his whole career.
The pain got so much he couldn't manage it anymore. Allegedly, he now is completely healed now that this thing has been removed, and he kind of alluded to this in that cup, but he supposedly feels great. Now, the more important part, which we'll get to in a second, is what are they doing else otherwise? Now, I've been told by two people, one of whom is the same person who told me they were about to make a big move in the winter meetings and they signed Pete Alonso, that they're not done. So we will see, because I know we have PTSD with these guys and spending, but let's now, Jason, your thoughts on the Eflin of it all.
My thoughts are they better get one of the best proven starters available in free agency, or it's just more of the same. It's perpetrating the same con. Having one position player making real money on your roster doesn't a major league roster make, doesn't a major league payroll make. So this guy I thought was going to be proved to be damaged goods when the Rays were ready to peddle him at what seemed to be the peak ability. I mean, he's a fringy Cy Young vote getter, down ballot vote getter, mm-hmm. when they move on with him. And then he spends most of his time here on the IL. As insurance, great. I'm just going to tell you, as a veteran observer of these mooks, the timing certainly gave me pause. And I don't believe that they will. And again, I am on record as saying I get it, but I also didn't box myself into the corner the way they did. I would have been forthright about my roster years ago, but I don't think they want to give anybody 6 years. And I think at least one or two of these guys is probably going to get 6 years. I don't have to give them the benefit of anything. They need to earn
people's trust. And they don't deserve it.
They need to earn people's trust back. And if they go and get Suarez or Fromber or something like that, then yeah, Eflin as a contingency will be great. If Eflin is their number four starter, and then people get hurt, and we're talking about lack of starting pitching depth again, then it's, you know, this is who this, then they're telling you what they truly are all about.
Yeah, I think it's just that. Assuming they still get one of those top guys, I'm all for this move because it's low risk, high reward. It's a 1 year deal. $10 million isn't all that much money in the starting pitching market. And this is someone that 10 of his first 12 starts in Baltimore were quality starts. You know he's never going to walk people, which is always a
unless
big positive.
He's hurt.
Yes, unless he's hurt. But, and also, by all accounts, he's a great dude, yep, and people love him in the clubhouse. Now, injuries have plagued him. He's been on the IL, what, four different times in a year and a half in Baltimore. But if he's that contingency guy and maybe he pops and then you have a great problem to have on your hands, then it's a good thing. But if they don't make another move, then I'm still concerned.
They do not in any world deserve the benefit of the doubt because of how they've handled business the last couple years. That said, if they go out and sign, then just say Ranger Suarez.
Sure.
Zach Eflin's their fifth starter.
Yeah.
He was their opening day starter a year ago.
Yes.
On that joke rotation. If he's their five, the other thing I think happens, I don't know that Dean Kramer's here come up.
I was wondering that too.
Like, they're going to make a trade of some sort. Yeah. And I don't, if they do what I think they're going to do, I don't think Dean Kramer's here opening day.
Look,
I also don't think he's ready for opening day. I don't think he's ready for opening day.
And the market, like, everybody's looking for a bargain. Everybody's looking for a value play. It's not just Mike Elias.
But
market's telling you that there's trepidation about this guy overcoming what he says is now in the rearview mirror. Otherwise, you don't get a dude who has been not just an innings eater, but a quality starter for as long as he's been.
Jason, you mentioned 2 years ago he finished sixth in the Cy Young.
He was fringy Cy Young guy. And the Rays move off on him, and he can't hit the post.
The other thing is, and again, this goes to them, they handle pitching poorly. But you bring in Zach Eflin, and you put together a rotation where you tell him to slow play it. Like you don't need to rush yourself ready for opening day because we've got dudes now. If you're ready for May 1st or whatever, and you can hit the back end of a rotation, then perfect. But you don't need Zach Eflin to be ready for opening day.
Yeah, I mean, look,
what real teams do.
We're going to find out. They've got a solid 6 weeks to play around.
Yes.
Although I don't like signing starting pitchers like a week or two before sprint. Nah, that never
bodes well. It doesn't work well.
Worked out with Obaldo.
Yeah.
Alex Cobb.
Yeah. So, you know, they've got to get on the good foot here and make and look, if you want to trade for 1 year of Freddie Peralta, that counts too.
Yes.
But it needs to be not Boz, like where it might work. I think it could work. I've been a Boz guy. But there's projection. I'm talking about we're going to part with what we have to part with, either in commodities or cash, to get someone who we know is a top three starter on a playoff team in any division.
He's starting a playoff
game. This guy is in the top three in pretty much every and any rotation.
Hey, this is where you want it to be. And things can change. Things are fluid. But you want to hit opening day where Shane Boz is your fourth starter and Zach Eflin's your fifth starter. Now, that could, like, Shane Boz could be the guy that you thought he was going to be years ago, and then everything's fluid or somebody gets hurt, God forbid, and he bumps up. But that's what you want the opening day rotation to look like.
And Eflin would have the upside of being a middle of the rotation guy.
That's what real organizations do. If you make the money move that I've been, the money moves that I've been begging for a while now, then all of a sudden now you've got rotational depth. And you're not running out there Charlie Morton and Japanese Charlie Morton.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. We'll find out.
I came up with that this weekend. I thought it was funny.
Japanese Charlie Morton.
Yeah. I liked it. You like that one, Jason? Japanese Charlie Morton? Sagano?
Yeah. I mean, that's fine.
It's what they had a year ago. It was kind of pathetic.
Yeah, it was a joke.
They're like, that's embarrassing.
Wasting a year Gunnar Henderson's control.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. But I don't mind it. This I sort of feel about this how I felt about Tyler Ward.
Yeah.
If this is the move, I hate it. If you do something better than that, all of a sudden I potentially love it.
Yep.
So maybe the Orioles, maybe the Leopards change their spots, Jason. Is that possible?
I'll believe it when I say it. It's certainly possible.
I didn't think it was possible going into this offseason. I didn't think it was possible. They're giving me reasons to believe it's possible.
I mean, this is something that he would have done at any point.
No, I mean,
this is the biggest. Yeah.
Not the Eflin part, but
they had him here already. Was broken down. They got him back on the cheap.
They've been
that's quintessential Elias.
No, but they've been very active.
Okay. He's finally done one real contract in 8 years.
Yes.
I'm not genuflecting. I'm not bending over. Like he's been a complete and utter failure for 3 years, and he got shamed into this.
Yeah.
And so far,
He signed a first baseman who we all love the bat, but there's no, doesn't make you more athletic, doesn't make you, it doesn't improve your defense at all. Like, it's good. You've got one position player making real money.
I got a polar bear. I'm happy. And I think more to come, but I will eat my words if this is the best they do. Coming up next, though, bounce back, fallback. Bone hosts, we answer questions next here on The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.